listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's My Music with Dr. Mark Malkovich. Presented by Toyota and Hyundai of Newport, Dr. Mark Malkovich has been the general director of the Newport Music Festival for over 30 years and has brought the festival to international prominence. He is considered an expert in the field of chamber music and is a pianist of note himself. Enjoy beautiful music from his collection of over 15,000 discs containing many rarities from his travels around the world. My Music with Dr. Mark Malkovich is presented by Toyota and Hyundai of Newport, two dealers that took the pledge to make car buying fun and friendly. Visit Toyota of Newport or HyundaiofNewport.com.
I have a special program for you this evening, Ruth Draper. She does monologues and was famous for it. She was born in New York City in 1884 into the genteel society, the world chronicled by Henry James and Edith Wharton, both of whom were friends of hers. Her gift for transforming herself into a vast array of characters first emerged as a casual entertainment for her family and friends, but eventually she began performing for charity and then in the parlors of New York society, and she really just bowled everyone over. For the next 30 years, she, with the few exceptions, she traveled the world and she captivated audiences with her portrayal of characters of all ages and from all walks of life. The average theater goer and such theatrical legends as George Bernard Shaw, Sarah Bernhardt, and Eleanora Duse were equally dazzled. As Wolcott Gibbs said in The New Yorker in 1954, she is a writer for the theater who most dramatic artists would do well to regard with wonder, envy, and despair. And though Draper was 70 when she recorded these monologues, she had originally composed many of them many 30 or 40 years previously, but she was still in top form. It's wonderful. Later, Lee Hoiby set this Italian lesson that we'll hear to music. Mezzo-soprano Mimi Lerner and Tom Horinkiu premiered it at the Newport Music Festival. It's a great work. Here is Ruth Draper reading the Italian lesson. You'll hear many characters.
Come in. Come in, signorina. Oh, I'm so glad you've arrived. I can't tell you how excited I am to think that we've arrived at last at the Divine Comedy. I'm really very proud. And I must tell you, signorina, I read a little last night just before I went to bed. And you know, I understood quite easily, so I think we're going to skim right through it. You have your book? And shall we start and read a few lines as we always do and then translate? Oh, this is thrilling. Dante at last. Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per una selva oscura. What? Oh, selva oscura che la diritta via era smarrita. Oh, what wonderful lines. Aren't they marvelous? Now let's see. Nel mezzo. Let me see. Nel mezzo just means in the middle, doesn't it? In the middle. And del cammin means of the road. In the middle of the road. That's not very poetical, is it, in English? No, well, we can take certain liberties. Don't translate as always. I mean, take certain liberties in order to maintain the beauty of it and the meaning at the same time. And, for example, we could say, instead of saying in the middle, we could say midway. And instead of saying of the road, we could say along the pathway. Don't you think that sounds better? Midway along the pathway di nostra vita, of our life. Me ritrovai, myself I found, of course we say I found myself, pair, we'd have to change that preposition, wouldn't we? I found myself in a forest dark. And of course we say dark forest, don't we? I found myself in a dark forest. What's K doing there? Oh, I see, they think it means perché, short for perché, I see. Found myself in a dark forest because la diritta via, the direct way, era was smarita. Wait a minute, don't tell me. Such a funny word, I knew it on Monday. Smarita means, it's on the tip of my tongue. It means lost, doesn't it? Lost, what wonderful line, signorina. Midway, along the pathway of our life, I found myself in a dark forest because the direct way was lost. They're so wonderful, signorina, because they're so true. That was so extraordinary. To think that those lines were written hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and yet they are so applicable to life today. Because don't you think that's exactly what happens to people? Oh, I think so often in the middle of life, people seem to lose their way. They don't know where they're going. They can't see the way before them. It's such a wonderful picture of confusion. Those two men. Dante was with Virgil, wasn't he? And they were just stumbling along together. And they really didn't know where they were going. They couldn't see the way before them. Marvellous. Of course, Dante was a genius, wasn't he? I mean, Dante and Shakespeare, they seemed to know everything, didn't they? They seemed to know the things that always would be true. Wonderful. I imagine we're going to find that this is full of quotations and great general truths, just like that first paragraph. I mean, there's something gripping about it right away. Oh, this is going to be such fun. So exciting. Heavens, is it so late? Signorina, will you excuse me one moment while I call up a friend? I promised to catch her before she went out. She was going to leave the house very early, and I promised to call. Hello? Come in? Darling, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Mother's telephoning. Plaza 37473. Look out, darling. Now, don't pull me over. Be careful. Gentle. Good morning. Say good morning nicely to the signorina, dear. And then run along, because Mother's having her Italian lesson and doesn't want to be disturbed. Is Mrs. Norton there? May I speak to her, please? What, dear? The movies? This afternoon? Certainly not. Darling, don't ask such silly questions. Of course you can't go to the movies in the middle of the week. Well, you have your dancing class. Hello, Mabel, my dear. How are you? Mabel, I just felt I must call up and find out what happened yesterday afternoon after I left. Well, I saw that there was going to be a row, and of course I was dying to stay, but I had my Bible class and had to fly. Well, what happened? I thought that the woman was going to murder you. I really did. I was very anxious. She didn't, but what did she do? What? No, not real hysterics. What did you do? You didn't. A whole glass of water? What nerve, did it ruin her hat? Well, I've always heard that was a thing to do for hysterics, but I never heard of anybody doing it. Well, did it calm her down? Isn't she dreadful? Do you know who she is? Do you know anything about her? How did we ever get her on the committee? Oh, she's impossible. I know, but she doesn't contribute anything. She's constantly interfering, holding things up, and she's got... I've never seen such manners. She really is the most... Oh, outrageous. After all, one doesn't behave like that on a committee. Everyone knows you've got to discuss things, you've got to compromise, in the end you must cooperate, and you don't... Exactly. Yeah. Well, I've always thought her the most impossible. In fact, I've always been rather suspicious. What? Oh, my dear, you've heard that? No, I've never heard it. I've always thought it. Well, if that's the case, I think we must just quietly get rid of her. Well, we can't tolerate this. Yes, exactly. Oh, it's so true, my dear, and I think you're... Darling, please don't interrupt. Mother's talking. Run along, dear, and close the door. Goodbye. No, I wasn't saying goodbye to you. I was getting rid of a troublesome child. Well, Mabel, listen, my dear, I can't discuss it now. I'm in the middle of an Italian lesson. But let's get together. Well, are you lunching with Gertrude tomorrow? Well, we'll sit next to one another and discuss it, because... Yes. I mean, it's going to be very unpleasant. We've got to devise a plan. Oh, most essential. I agree with you. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, that's so true. Exactly. Well, I'm sure you handle it beautifully. Come in, Jane. No, dear, the cook came in. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, and I wish I'd been there. I mean, to help you out. It must have been most trying. Goodbye, my dear. Goodbye. Signorina, will you excuse me one moment while I order the dinner? Children, if you're going to play in here, you must be quiet. Now, don't tease him like that, Barbara. You know he doesn't like it. Don't tease him. Come in, Jane. Jane, we shall be 8 for dinner tonight, and I want a very simple little dinner. Have you some clear soup? Well, we might have clear soup. Put something amusing in it. I don't really mind what. And then we might have that fish souffle that you make. Oh, yes, you do, Jane. You do it in that low silver dish. It's white and fluffy and easy to eat. It's brown and sort of crumbs on top. Isn't that fish? Oh, I always thought it was fish. Looks like fish, tastes like fish, must be fish. Hello? Oh, hello, dear. What do you want? Your bag packed with your golf clothes and your club sent to meet you at the 12:10 train, all right? No, it's no trouble. No, Morris will take them. I have the other car. All right, Morris will be standing at the gate of the train at 5 minutes. Look out, Billy, get off that chair. Look out, darling, you'll fall. Look, Barbara, lift him down. Darling, I don't want you to get down by yourself. Let her lift you down. No, he's all right. He didn't fall. No, he never does. But he was climbing on top of my bookcase by way of that high back chair. All right, I will. What'd you say? I don't know anything about it. Well, I'll ask him. Billy, do you know anything about a driver that came for Daddy from Spaulding's? Do you know where it is? Well, go get it, darling, and put it with his other clubs in his bag. Now, don't do anything else on the way. Keep your mind on that one thing until you've got it done. Yes, he knows where it is. Probably broken by this time. All right. Come in, mademoiselle. Good morning. No, I won't. Listen, don't miss the train. You can't spend the night, Hubert. We've people for bridge, and you must be here. We've got a very nice party. Goodbye. Have a good game. I say have a good game. Goodbye. Then, Jane, we might have a little leg of lamb. Oh, I'm rather tired of lamb. Oh, Jane, do you know what I wish we could have? Do you remember that delicious recipe that I brought you back from France of pigeons in a casserole? You've got that old brown pottery casserole I brought back. Don't you remember I brought you the recipe that the old woman gave me? Now, Jane, don't tell me you've lost it. Well, I think I remember it. I know you put in 8 little pigeons, and you put almost everything in with them. Well, I mean, there were little glazed browned onions and little bits of browned apple, and there were little potatoes and peas and carrot and mushrooms. There were lots of lovely mushrooms. And everything was swimming about in a perfectly divine sauce. I don't know how you made the sauce. I suppose that's important. I think there was wine in it. I'm sure there was. Red wine. And I know it. You have to cook it very slowly and keep the cover on, the old lady told me. Yes, let it simmer very slowly, and it brings out the flavour. I think you put in a bay leaf and some parsley. Hello? Did you hear all that? It's delicious. I'll give you the recipe. Listen, my dear Gladys, I was about to telephone you to ask you whether the children's dancing class is meeting at your house this afternoon. Oh, then Mary has not got the chicken pox. Oh, what good news. She hasn't got the chicken pox. She hasn't got the chicken pox. Well, they thought she had chicken pox. Oh, that's splendid. That's much easier. Well, then the little girls will be there as usual at 3. I was going to offer this house if you wanted it. Well, I'm glad she's better. That's much simpler. Thank you for letting me know. Goodbye, my dear. They'll be there as usual. Goodbye. Nancy, what did you say then? Turn round and tell Mother exactly what you said. Nancy. My dear child, you should be very glad that she hasn't got the chicken pox. Well, you undoubtedly would get it yourself if she had, and I think you deserve to get it for having such unkind thoughts. And anyway, darling, we don't say such things. Even when we think them, we don't say them. Then, Jane, we might have tomato salad. You know that ring that you make of tomato jelly and you put lovely things in the middle. And I rather feel like a camembert cheese. Why not? A nice ripe camembert. Oh, for dessert, surprise me, Jane. I like to be surprised. Oh, I don't know. Why not fruit? Just fruit. Fruit and coffee, that ought to be enough for anybody. Yes, and at 8 o'clock. Well, you know how late they always are. Yes, for 8. Thank you, Jane. Now, mademoiselle, it's rather complicated about this morning. I am taking Nancy to the dentist, so will you leave her at home? Then will you take Billy to his riding lesson and Barbara to her gymnasium? And then would you take the baby for a little drive in the park? Because I told the nurse that she could go to Hoboken to see her aunt, who's got something in the hospital there. I hope it's not serious. And then will you get me some marron glacé and some chocolate and mint, you know, the kind I like, for dinner, and bring them back here, and bring the children back for luncheon at 1 o'clock and the candies for dinner. And then this afternoon, the brown child has not got the chicken pox. You heard me talking to Mrs. Brown. So the little girls will go there as usual at 3. And then Billy has his carpentry today, hasn't he? Well, while you're waiting to pick up the children, I was wondering if you could do a few things for me. Yes, it will be time enough to tell you at luncheon. Thank you, mademoiselle. Thank you so much. Billy, listen, darling, do you get Daddy's driver? Good boy, do you put it in the bag? Thank you. Come on, children, you're late already. Barbara, darling, get the baby. She's in the scrap basket. Well, pull her out. Come on, children. Nancy, I have told you 20 times not to touch the things on that table. Well, darling, just try and remember. Well, make up your mind, darling. Make up your mind that you're not going to do it, you see? And then you won't. Well, because that's what minds are for. Now run along, children. Get out quickly, do what Mademoiselle tells you, and don't come back. Goodbye. Shut the door. Signorina, I think I'll just run through those beautiful lines again, just to get in the spirit of it. Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per una selva. Excuse me, this telephone is so maddening. Hello? I'm sorry, I'm afraid it's important or they wouldn't call me. Hello, who is it, please? Oh, Miss Pounder. Excuse me for being so fierce, Miss Pounder. Well, I was in the middle of an Italian lesson and I hoped the telephone was not going to ring. Well, it's about my little boy, Miss Pounder, my Billy. I'm so sorry to hear that he's doing so badly in his mathematics. Well, I'm very disappointed, Miss Pounder, but I have been thinking it over and I have decided that we must just give up mathematics. Well, you know, Billy is a very sensitive child. He's a peculiarly sensitive child. I'm afraid he's not quite like other children, and he hates mathematics. Well, he doesn't seem to know what he's doing. I find him chewing a pencil and looking very miserable, and he doesn't get anywhere. And what is the use of going on with a thing when one doesn't get anywhere? Well, I know, Miss Pounder, but you see, it's affecting his health, and that's what disturbs me. Well, I find that he's not sleeping well. He has a very peculiar dream, a sort of nightmare, a recurrent dream. Well, every night he falls into a pond in this dream, and the pond is full of fish, and the fish are all numbered, and they swarm about and bite him, and he wakes up screaming. Well, the psychoanalyst tells me that that's a very dangerous symptom, and I must try and remove the cause, which is undoubtedly arithmetic. Well, I really can't discuss it with you, Miss Pounder. I've no doubt that you have had more experience than I, but after all, I am his mother. And I think I know what's best for my boy. Yes, we'll give up mathematics until I think he's strong enough to go on. Thank you, Miss Pounder. I'll let you know. Come in. Who? Entirely forgot, Signorina. Would you mind if my little manicurist comes up? I meant to put her off, but I forgot, and she's here, and I don't like to send her away. Well, she's very quiet. I don't think she'll bother us at all. Yes, Nelly, ask Miss Mary to come right up. Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per... Children, I told you not to come back. Now, darlings, please go out. I don't want to be interrupted again. What? Oh, has he come? How exciting! Signorina, I'm afraid we'll have to have one more interruption. Well, we've been waiting for days and days for a little dog who has just arrived from the country, and that he's just come, and the children are so excited they want me to see him. Well, he's only a puppy. He won't be long, and I rather want to see him myself. Well, bring him in, darling. Bring him in quickly, and we'll have a look at the puppy. Come on, quickly. Oh, you darling. Oh, isn't he adorable? Aren't we going to love him? I wouldn't hold him quite so tight, Bobby. Well, darling, Billy, put him on the floor, darling. Put him on the floor, darling, and let the baby pat him. Barbara, show the baby how to pat him. I don't want her to be frightened. Pat him on his head, darling. That's his tail. Pat him on his head. Don't pull his ears. Gently, gently. Isn't he soft and lovely? Now let him go, children. Wait a minute. Don't let him get under the bed. Keep him out in the open, children. Keep him out in the open. You darling, Signorina, isn't he sweet? Good morning, Miss Mary. Do look at the latest addition to the family. Isn't he precious? Billy, take my slippers, darling. Don't let him get my slippers. Here, puppy. Here, puppy. Here, you sweet old puppy. Here, you was a precious puppy. Oh, you was a darling. Here, you was a precious puppy. What are we going to call him, children? Oh, we can't just call him puppy. No, he must have a name. You know what I think would be lovely? I think it would be lovely if we called him Dante. Because he came in the middle of my Dante lesson. Oh, Dante was a very famous man. And we'll call him Dan for short. Here, puppy. Here, Dante. Oh, you was a precious Dante. Yes, you was a darling Dante. Yes, you was a precious Dante boy. Oh, isn't he darling? Now, wait a minute, children. Hold him, darling. Can you manage, Miss Mary? Just pull up a chair and I'll give you my hand. Can you manage? Quiet, children. Don't make any noise. The telephone. Hello? Oh, good morning, Count Blaski. Shh, quiet, children. Watch him, watch him. Can you manage? Good morning, Count Blaski. Good morning. Yes, Count Blaski, I left a message. Well, I was so anxious to speak to you because I wanted to tell you that the portrait has arrived. Look out, Miss Mary, you heard me. Yes, the portrait has arrived and is hanging in the drawing room in the place that you selected near the window. And the light is lovely on it. and we're all crazy about the frame. Well, it really is a great work of art, and everyone admires it enormously. But I was wondering, Count Blavsky, if you would mind if I made one or two tiny suggestions. Well, my husband and I were looking carefully at the picture last night, and we put the child up on top of the piano so that she should be on a level with the picture. And we both think that you've got her a little bit thin. Do you think you could make her a little fatter?
Shh, look out. Watch him, children.
Yes, exactly. And then there's something not quite right about the mouth, Count Blavsky. Well, could you make her smile a little bit, perhaps? And then I forgot to tell you that in the summertime, when she plays and gets very hot, there's the most lovely wave in her hair. And I wondered if you, well, her little curls about her temples. I wonder if you thought it would be all right to paint her as though she were hot. In that case, her cheeks would be pink. And if her cheeks are pink, you see, I would prefer blue hair ribbon. I think it would be more becoming. Now, please don't think we don't love the picture. Oh, it's a real work of art, and it'll be absolutely perfect if you make those little changes. And when may I bring her, Count Blavsky? On Tuesday at 2. We shall be there. I look forward to coming to your studio again. Thank you so much. Goodbye. I will. Goodbye. Now, children, don't grumble, darling. We're just going to make those few little changes, darling, in about a half an hour, and you'll be so glad to have that picture someday. Now, children, run along. Take the puppy to the kitchen. Don't give him anything to eat. Just some water, and I'll see about his food later. Get out quickly and don't come back. Goodbye. Nel mezzo del cammin, can you manage, Miss Mary? Di nostra vita. Mi ritrovai. Oh, heavens, is that the clock? Oh, let me go, Miss Mary, let me go. I can't let you have me 1 minute more. Oh, I had no idea it was so late. I'm so sorry, Miss Mary. I shouldn't have asked you to come, but I thought we were going to have plenty of time. They're not too bad. They'll do for a few days, and I'll let you know. I'll call you up. Goodbye, Miss Mary. Thank you so much. Goodbye, Signorina. I'm dreadfully sorry, but I'm afraid we shall have to stop. I can't tell you how sorry I am. You know, I care more for this than for anything I do, and I hate to have my lesson interrupted. I thought we were going to have plenty of time. Well, now, when will you come again? No, not Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, but Thursday I'm free. Yes, come on Thursday, Signorina, and we'll have a nice, long, quiet lesson. Oh, I can't wait to get on. I think it's so beautiful and so profound. I love it. Goodbye, Signorina. Marie! Marie! Mary, I have to be out of this house in 15 minutes. Will you see that the car is there? I want my little black cloth dress with a braid and the three-cornered hat. Oh, I think the short fur jacket, black gloves, everything black. Come in. Good morning, Miss Swift. Oh, dear Miss Swift, how I wish that I might stay quietly at home with you and really clear up that desk. Well, I know I shall be back about 12:30. I'll give you a half an hour before luncheon. But please, Miss Swift, before you start writing letters, will you try and get me some men for the opera on Monday? Well, I have a box, but I have no men. I have a Russian lady coming, and we ought to try and find somebody who knows something about Russia. Is there anybody? I tell you, there's that Mr. Fisher. I don't like him, but he speaks Russian, and he's been there for a week, and he thinks he knows all about it. And anyway, he can talk to her, so try and get him. And then get dear little Mr. Miller. Well, he's always free, you know. And he likes everybody, and he likes everything, and always gives me a feeling of hope. So let's get Mr. Miller. And then I picked up a charming young Englishman last week. I put him on a piece of paper and stuck him in the blotter. I hope he hasn't got torn up. Well, he may be in the scrap basket. It was a piece of pink paper. Find him if you can. He was so nice. That's it, that's it. Oh, good. What's his name? Basil. Sir Basil Rood. I suppose he's of the rich they generally are to begin with. Well, will you try those three? And if you can't get any of those, just take my list of possible men and run right through it. Well, get me anyone you can, as long as it's a man. I don't really care. Hello? Camilla! Darling! How are you? What a lovely surprise. I had no idea you were back. I didn't expect you for 2 weeks or more. Have a wonderful time. Are you well? Yes, wonderful, thank you. I'm dying to see you. Why don't you come for luncheon today? Well, just quietly with me and the children. We're alone here. They adore you. We'll have a lovely, cozy... What? Oh, my dear, do tell me. Did you hear the whole story? I can't wait to hear. Well, was it true? Was it what we thought? Much worse. What do you mean? No. Do they know where they went? Has anybody gone after her? Well, what's he going to do now? My dear, what a situation. Well, I can't wait to hear. Well, now listen, that is not for the children's ears, so I'll meet you at the plaza. Will that suit you? 1 o'clock. Splendid. No, dear, I can't play with you this morning. Well, I'm rushing out now. I have to get to a funeral in 15 minutes. Oh, I'm up. I've been up for hours. I've already had an Italian lesson. I'm reading the Inferno. Oh, it's divine. One realizes how it's come down through the ages. I'm quite far along. I've always kept up my Italian. Yes, I love it. Whose funeral? Poor old Daisy. Aren't you going? Wasn't it sad? Awfully sad. And yet, I'm not so sure. Well, that's what I mean. I never thought she was. No, I don't see how she could have been. I never liked him, did you? No, I never liked him, and I never trusted him. Well, that's that. No, dear, I have to take one of the children to the dentist. This afternoon? I can't even remember what day it is this afternoon. Miss Swift, would you mind looking in my little book and see what I have on for this afternoon? Tell me, was Mexico wonderful? Did you get to Guatemala, too? Oh, I want to hear all about it. It must have been marvelous. Well, Hubert says he'll take me next year, and I want to know just what you did. Wait a minute, what have I got this afternoon? Oh, no, dear, this afternoon's no good. Well, I entirely forgot. I have a hospital committee meeting, and I'm the chairman, so I must be there. And that's at 2. Then what have I? I have a philosophy class at 3. Terribly interesting. I wish you'd join. Then what have I? I have a contract lesson at 4, and then I have to come home. Well, we'll plan something. I'll see you at luncheon anyway. Yes, 1 o'clock at the plaza. Thanks so much. I'm glad you're back. I've missed you dreadfully. Goodbye, my dear. I'll see you at luncheon. Goodbye. Now, Miss Swift, while I finish dressing, will you just take these notes? Will you please write letters or telephone to the ladies on a list that I left, I think, under that bronze hand to the right of the blotter? And will you ask them if they will serve on a committee to raise $20,000 by the end of May for the furnishing of the new day nursery? I don't care how they get the money. I'll help in any way I can, but we must have $20,000 by the end of May. Then will you please send $10 to the appeals under the silver frog and $5 to the appeals under the jade egg? Don't get them mixed. 10 under the frog, 5 under the egg. I sorted them out last night. And then, Miss Swift, what have we in the way of concert tickets this week? No, I'm absolutely full up. I can't go to anything. The Philharmonic? Oh, Lord, it seems to come so often. Now, do you know anybody who likes music? Well, everyone says they do, but I never really believe them. I tell you who does. That's my old piano teacher. Oh, yes, she loves it. She's 85, and she has a sister, and they stumble in together, and they enjoy it more than anyone I know, so I'd like them to be sent to her. You know, Miss Hattie Tufsch. You have her address in my address book there. And send them to her. And then, Miss Swift, will you please see that Mr. Clancy's golf clubs and his clothes are sent to meet him at the 12:10 train? Maurice is to stand at the gate of the train at 12:05. Yes, and be sure, Mary, that he has his brown tweed suit, will you? And put the new driver in the bag. I sent Billy to get it, and I hope he understood. Be sure that it's in the bag, a new driver. And stand at the gate of the train at 12:05. And then, Miss Swift, I forgot to speak to the cook. But I want a little basket of very nourishing and appetizing food sent to the night watchman's little boy. Oh, didn't you know he'd been run over? Yes, very badly hurt. But he's getting on beautifully. I telephone the surgeon every day, and he's doing awfully well. He's at the Roosevelt Hospital. His name is Jimmy Pike. Children's Ward, Roosevelt Hospital, every day at 12 o'clock. Oh, she'll know. A nice little basket of food, a rice pudding, a little roast chicken, some spinach, some hothouse fruit. Yes, something very nourishing, and some soup jelly. And be sure there's a little toy on the top of the basket. I think it'll amuse the child to unpack it himself. Thank you. I'll answer. It's probably for me. Hello? Oh, one moment, please. Mary, leave everything there. Leave everything on the chair. Yes, my purse, my fox, my gloves, and those little parcels. And then will you please get my grey flannel suit and give it to James to put in the car? Well, it's all wrong. I have to take it back to the tailor. Miss Swift, would you mind going down to the library? And on the table in the window, I think you'll find a black leather book that has some yellow paper stuck in it, which are the minutes of the hospital meeting that I have this afternoon, and I must glance through them. And one moment, please. On the drawing room sofa, I think I left a very dirty lampshade. And on the mantelpiece, I think you'll find a pile of yellow taffeta samples. One of them has a pin stuck in it. Would you mind pinning that to the lampshade? I want to try and have it recovered and get the same color. And come back, Miss Swift. I want to speak to you before I go out. Hello? Hello. Did you hear all that? Yes. They've gone. When I was just rushing out, you only just caught me. I'm all right. No, I wasn't.
What made you think so? How are you? No, I can't. Well, it's not going to be possible. Well, I can't explain now. I'll tell you when I see you. No, nothing to worry about. Well, so am I, but what can we do? Oh, do you go? Weren't they beautiful? I wish we might have gone together. Yes, that's the one that I liked. Listen, I must run. I can't talk. What? Don't make me laugh, because I'm on my way to a funeral. Yes, goodbye. Don't be late. I say, don't be late. Yes, I will. Goodbye. Miss Swift? Oh, Miss Swift, are you there? Miss Swift, would you telephone Scribner or Brentano, one of the booksellers, and ask them if they will send at once by special messenger a new book that's just been published called Our Inner Life? I don't know who wrote it, but I have to discuss it at the book club on Friday, and I want to run through it before then. I know it's called Our Inner Life. And Marie, will you please tell James to have tea by the fire in the library this afternoon? I shall be back about 4:30, and I want my mauve dress.
Tired of the hassle you get when you want to buy a car? Save money and your nerves. Come to Toyota of Newport or Hyundai of Newport, two dealers that took the pledge to make car buying fun and friendly. Ask someone with the sailboat logo on the license frame. At Toyota and Hyundai of Newport, the deals are always better and the service after the sale is simply the best. You don't have to feel boxed in, tarried, or bombarded by wannabe actors. Come to Toyota of Newport or Hyundai of Newport in Middletown, where they treat you with respect and give you the right price without the game playing. You'll keep more of your hard-earned money and get the finest cars in the industry. You can also log on to toyotaofnewport.com or hyundaiofnewport.com and buy your car online at your speed and your timing. Toyota of Newport, 285 East Main Road, Middletown, or Hyundai of Newport, 1183 West Main Road, Middletown, making it easier for you.
The next great monologue is a German governess with a class of children. Oh, I love that. As a writer, Miss Draper has the generosity of perspective and the detached wisdom that see the spirit behind the mask of reality. And as an actress, she has warmth, integrity, dignity, and stature. That was by Brooks Atkinson of the New York Times in 1938. This is, she's wonderful. She can do anything. As a matter of fact, John Gielgud, the great, great actor, said, "I have always felt that Ruth Draper was the greatest individual performer that America has ever given us." That's Sir John Gielgud. Let's listen to a German governess with a class of children.
Children, quiet, please. Will you stop this racket? Charlie, shut that window down, because I don't want any more cold air, because I've got a very bad cold and a very bad headache. I don't want any drafts. Shut the door, please. Shh. Children, will you please stop this noise and this whispering and giggling? What is so funny? Well, I also like to laugh. Will you tell me what is funny? I also will laugh. Well, there's nothing funny about us. Sit down, please. Come quickly to your places. Remember, children, the more quickly we begin, the more quickly we are through. So take your places. Did you shut that window down? Quiet, children. Everybody pay attention now. Sit up quietly. Turn to page 48. And begin to translate. Will you translate, Walter? Go on, dear. Stop it. Well, don't sit next to that boy. Come away from him. Well, of course he teases you. It is your fault if he teases you. Sit there and stop looking at him and he will not tease you anymore. Quiet, children. Will you translate, please, Walter? Go on there. The hat? Whose hat? Well, the hat belonged to somebody. We are studying the possessive case. Everything we talk about belongs to somebody or somebody else. Who did the hat belong to? No, not my father. It belonged to somebody belonging to my father. That is twice possessive. It belonged to the gardener of my father. Quite right. Where was it? Well, it was somewhere. Everything must be somewhere. And what was it doing? It was on the grapevine, exactly. The hat of my father's gardener. But how was it on the grapevine? Hanging, quite right. The hat of my father's gardener was hanging on the grapevine. Shh, quiet now. Everybody listen. Nellie, you will take the second sentence, darling. It's all about flowers. Don't laugh at her. She's going to do it very nicely. Go on, darling. Everybody is waiting. The lilies, And roses, exactly. Where were the lilies and roses? Where would lilies and roses mostly be? Do you know where lilies and roses grow? In the garden, exactly. Whose garden? Well, the garden belonged to somebody. Shh, don't tell her, she gets it. In the garden of who? No, not my aunt. Something belonging to my aunt. Well, what is Schwiegerschwester, Schwiegerin, Schwiegerschwester? Well, she does not know. Well, sometimes you don't know things. Tell her, if you know what is it, tell Nelly what is it. Sister-in-law, darling. The garden of my aunt's sister-in-law. That is the wife of the brother of the aunt. And she had the garden, and in the garden there were lilies and roses. Now, stop it. You know very well what I mean. Now, stop it. What were the lilies and roses doing in the garden of my aunt's sister-in-law? Well, don't cry, darling. Just concentrate. It was in the summertime. The sun was shining. It had been raining in the night, perhaps, on the lilies and roses. What were they doing? Shh, don't tell her. She gets it. What? Little louder. I didn't catch it. Blooming, exactly. They were blooming. That's very nice. The lilies and roses in the garden of my aunt's sister-in-law were blooming. Now, children, I am going to please ask you to give me the rules for prepositions that we have been learning for 10 days, and I hope somebody knows it. Harry, do you know what is it? Morris, will you please use your pocket handkerchief? You haven't got a pocket handkerchief? Louise, will you give your little brother your pocket handkerchief? What do you do with it? You gave it to Harry. Harry, give Morris Louise's pocket handkerchief. Children, how many times must I ask you, please, everybody, to bring your own pocket handkerchiefs? Well, I can't have always this mixed blowing going on. Every morning, will you please bring your own? That's the way you catch colds. Don't make so much noise. Very gently. Like so. Now, Harry, will you please tell us those rules for prepositions that we have been studying so long now? Do you know them? Well, stand up and tell us. Aus, bei, mit, nach, shh, stop it. Seit, von, zu, und gegenüber. Exactly. What case follows the use of those prepositions? What case comes after? No, they do not take the genitive. No, they do not take the accusative. They take the dative case. Aus, bei, mit, nach, seit, von, zu, und gegenüber, so weiter. Take the dative case. And you never speak German unless you know those rules. They're fundamental to the understanding. If I go out, with, together, by, for, it's so simple. It's always the dative case. And you must know the rules or you will not speak German. Now, children, I want to read you a beautiful little poem called Die Lorelei. But first, I would like to know, Johnny, what have you got in your blouse that is wriggling always? Something you hold onto that makes you fat and wriggles. What is it? Shh, stop it. What have you got in your blouse? What? Guinea pigs? Oh, God. You have put those gay baby guinea pigs in your blouse the whole morning long. Children, it's not funny. It's outrageous. They don't need to be kept warm. They have got fur on. They have got their mothers. They don't like to be in your blouse. They suffocate in there and you have no more guinea pigs. Now, listen, children. Put them in the garden and come back again. This is a very famous poem called Die Lorelei. And it tells a story of a beautiful lady and some sailors. And now we are going to find out what is going to happen to those poor sailors. Quiet, please. Ich weiß nicht, was soll es bedeuten, dass ich so traurig bin. Ein Märchen aus Altzeit, das kommt. Who threw this dead fly? Who threw this dead fly? Children, who threw? I can't stand it any longer. I come here every morning. I give you my life and my time, and always you insult me. Well, it's by no means the end. Unless this fly is explained, every one of you gets punished. I go away and leave you. Your parents shall hear of it, and you will be sorry when I go. You will know then that you love me. I try so hard to make you happy, and always you only give me insults. Then we can. Please control myself. I will control myself now and we'll finish the poem. Shh, stop it. Sit up straight. Everybody listen. Die Luft ist kühl und es dunkelt und ruhig fließet der Rhein. Der Gipfel des Berges funkelt im Abendsonnenschein. Die schönste Jungfrau sitzt dort oben wunderbar. Shh, children, come back here. Come back here. You cannot leave the room like this. Well, you cannot go until I give you permission to go. My word is law here. It's time to stop now anyway. I'll tell the other children, Nelly, the second declension and 10 of those new words. And the rules over again. Ach, Himmel, wo würde ich enden mit den Kindern? Regel ist ganz abscheulich, wie sie mich machen. Ich kann nicht länger dauern.
Tired of the hassle you get when you want to buy a car? Save money and your nerves. Come to Toyota of Newport or Hyundai of Newport, two dealers that took the pledge to make car buying fun and friendly. Ask someone with the sailboat logo on the license frame. At Toyota and Hyundai of Newport, the deals are always better and the service after the sale is simply the best. You don't have to feel boxed in, tarried, or bombarded by wannabe actors. Come to Toyota of Newport or Hyundai of Newport in Middletown, where they treat you with respect and give you the right price without the game playing. You'll keep more of your hard-earned money and get the finest cars in the industry. You can also log on to toyotaofnewport.com or hyundaiofnewport.com and buy your car online at your speed and your timing. Toyota of Newport, 285 East Main Road, Middletown, or Hyundai of Newport, 1183 West Main Road, Middletown, making it easier for you.
Oh, I have loved this recording for so many years. The great Ruth Draper and her monologues. We'll listen now to a wonderful one, a Scottish immigrant at Ellis Island. She had all of these accents, Italian, French, Scottish, fantastic. Uta Hagen, the great American actress and teacher, says, "I was in awe of Ruth Draper. Each of her characters was like a Rembrandt on stage, a total human being, a total portrait." And Lily Tomlin, who herself went on to give monologues, said, "When I first heard and discovered Ruth Draper's recordings, suddenly I had a standard. I had something to aspire to. I was thrilled at the perfection of these monologues and the richness and the humanity of them." Lily Tomlin. Let's listen to Madame Ruth Draper and a Scottish immigrant at Ellis Island.
"Are you coming, Mrs. Kelly? They told me that I have to speak to a man here, so I better... Oh, goodbye, Annie. Goodbye. Have you found your sister? Oh, I'll write you, Annie. As soon as ever we're settled, I'll write you and you'll come down to pass the day. Goodbye and the best of luck to you. I hate to say goodbye. Which gentleman is it, Mrs. Kelly? Oh, there's Charlie. Goodbye, Charlie. Goodbye, Nora. Goodbye, Mrs. Brown. Oh, I hate to say goodbye. I'll write you as soon as ever we're settled, I promise. Goodbye, Jeannie. I'm sorry I didn't see you. I'll write you a postcard as soon as ever we're settled. Goodbye, which gentleman? Here, this one? Oh. Good morning, sir. Good morning. My name is Leslie McGregor. Leslie. L-E-S-L-E-Y. That's all. It is my only name. It's a Scottish name. Leslie McGregor. Yes, sir. I'm 21 years old. I come from Crianlarich. 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 It's a small place. It's not very far from Glasgow. It's partway between Loch Katrine and Loch Awe in the Highlands of Scotland. Spell it. Oh, I could, yes, sir. You spell it. C-R-I-A-N-L-E-R-I-C-H, Crianlarich. Yes, sir. I have come out to marry. Oh, he's here. Oh, yes, sir, I know him. His name is Mr. Alexander McAllister. He comes from Crianlarich. Well, you see, he left home 3 years ago, and when he had enough, he was to send for me. And so now I have come. No, sir, I'm alone. Well, I have my friends on the ship, but I am alone. Oh, but he'll be here the day to meet me. Oh, yes, sir, he knows I'm coming. I'm sure he will be here. I beg your pardon? Am I what? A polygamist? Whatever is that, he says, am I a polygamist? Me, married? Oh, no, sir, I am not married. Anarchist? Is it a religion? I'm a Presbyterian. In prison? Have I been to prison? Well, we have no prison in Crianlarich. Asylum? Do you mean where the poor daft people go? No, sir, we have no asylum in Crianlarich. Contagious diseases? Well, I had a wee cold on the steamer coming over, but it's gone now. Is that a contagious disease? Oh, no, sir, I've never been ill. Only a wee cold. Sometimes in the winter time I have a wee cold. I beg your pardon? £3.10. £3.10. Not enough? He says I have no good enough. But I'm sure it'll be all right that I know that Mr. McAllister left plenty in his pocket. If not, my friends would help me, but I'm sure he'll have plenty. Well, he is well off now. Yes, sir. He's been very lucky. He has a little farm in New Jersey, a place called Far Hills, New Jersey. He says it is a very pretty place. He has 35 acres. 35. He has 14 cows. He has chickens, pigs, and a few sheep to remind him of home. Only a few. But he has a beautiful apple orchard and a very large garden. And he has a new Ford car, and everything is ready. Oh, no, sir, I'm not going there. I'm going to stop with his neighbour. Yes, sir, Mrs. Allen, and I'm to stop with her until he can arrange all the papers. And then, when everything is ready, we will be married. And then I will go to his house. Oh, thank you. Is that all? Thank you. I will thank you, sir. What way would they be asking you such peculiar questions? Did you hear what the man said to me? He asked me if I had ever been to prison. He did if I had contagious diseases. But he was a very nice man. He said he hoped I would be very happy. It was nice of him, wasn't it, to say that? Oh, laddies, come over here. Mr. Thompson, your laddies are here. Laddies, you hadn't the right to run away from your father. Oh, but we've said goodbye 3 times already. It's no good luck to say goodbye again. Ah, you've been good little friends to me now. And you're no going to forget Leslie. And as soon as ever we're settled, I'm going to write you and you come down your father and pass the day. And you'll have a ride in the Ford car and we'll have a happy time. Goodbye, laddies. Hold on your father's hand. Hold on your bairns, Mr. Thompson. You get them lost to the crowd. Goodbye, laddies. Goodbye. I'll write you. As soon as ever we're settled, I'll write you a postcard. Goodbye. Oh. Goodbye, Mr. Muldoon. Oh, Mr. Muldoon, you're no to talk like that, sir. But what way should we know meet again? But what we know? Oh, but you must come down. I want Sandy to know you. Well, I want you to know him. I know you would... Well, I know he would be very, very grateful to you for being so good to me on the ship. Oh, you were awful kind. You helped me with my luggage and you gave me books to read. And you told me many things about America so that I don't feel strange, and I'm awful glad to have a friend in this great country. Well, I hope you'll come down. I'll write you as soon as ever we're settled. And I wish you great success in your work, and I hope that you will have help and happiness always. Goodbye, sir. Well, I will never forget you. Goodbye. I promise I will. And I'll write you, and you'll come. Goodbye. Oh, Annie, hold on my hand here. Mrs. Smith, your bairn is here. She's greeting at my skirt. She says she's not going to leave me. Lass, you have to leave me now, darling. Well, you have to run along with your mother. I know, Lassie, but you'll come one day to see me. Aye, as soon as ever we're settled, you're coming down with your mother, and you'll make me a wee visit. Ah, I hate to say goodbye. Goodbye, my doo. Goodbye. Hold on your mother's hand now, and you get lost to the crowd. I'll write you, darling. Goodbye. Can you wait, Mrs. Kelly? I hate to keep you, madam. I never saw so many faces together in my life before. However, am I going to find them in the crowd? And will you look at the way they're all pushing each other about? They're rather rough, are they, no? Do you think they're all Americans there? Are they not rather peculiar looking? They're no very tall. Oh, Sandy, he's far taller nor anyone there. He's very, very tall. With grey eyes and dark hair. If only you knew him, Mrs. Kelly. You could be looking, too. He's awful bonny looking. You suppose we've changed. 3 years a long while. But I'm sure I would know Sandy. I better stop here now in one place. I remember now that's what he told me. I was not to move about, he said. I was to stay in one place and he would find me. I wonder however I'm going to find him. I see him. I do. I see him there with red ties, smiling, and he sees me.
Sandy, I'm coming around. Out by there in the crowd. There's a wee door here at the side. Goodbye, Mrs. Kelly, and thank you. Oh, I hate to say goodbye. You have been so kind. You have been like my own mother, and I'll never forget you. You'll come soon to see us, Mrs. Kelly. I hope you will. As soon as ever I'm settled, I'm going to write you, and you come down to pass the day. Well, I want you to know Sandy, and I want you to know, and I want him to know you. Goodbye, and thank you for everything. I will. I'll write you as soon as we're settled. Sandy, my Sandy, I'm here.
My Music with Dr. Mark Malkovich was brought to you by Toyota and Hyundai of Newport, where the deals are always better and service after the sale is simply the best. Call Toyota of Newport at 888-234-7014 or Hyundai of Newport at 888-234-7021.
You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.